first reading is from Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. It's on page 4 in the church Bibles. Genesis chapter 2, starting at verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die."
Peter, can we have the first picture, please, put up on the screen? This picture will tell you a little bit about a film that I watched on television recently. It was about a group of men who walked all the way from Siberia in Russia to India. I think it was about a 4,000-mile walk. They walked through snow in freezing temperatures. They walked through hot deserts. And as they walked, they had virtually nothing with them. Some died along the way, and those who eventually made it to India looked as if they were half dead. By those who saw them there. But what I found interesting about the film was that as they walked together, they began to get to know one another. Relationships were formed. I don't know how many of you like walking. I know that in the village here, there is a group that go out walking, a little bit like we can see in the next picture. And when you walk with others, you get to know people, don't you? You are able to enjoy their company. Sometimes when we go and visit friends, or when we go and visit family, we'll go out for a leisurely walk. And as we do so, we talk, we get to know one another. We talk about what each other have been doing. And it is good to be able to enjoy the company of other people as we walk. Well, as we meet together on a Sunday evening like this, I would like to talk about a number of people that walked with God. There are quite a number of people that walked with God in Bible days. And this evening, I'd like us to think about Adam, the first man who lived upon the earth. You see, he was a man who walked and talked with God. If you've got a Bible open, look for a moment at verse 8 of chapter 3. We read here about the Lord God walking in the Garden of Eden, where he had put Adam and Eve during the cool of the day. I think we've got a picture next of Adam and Eve. And I would suggest to you that this is something that God did. And that Adam was able to walk with God and talk with God and enjoy God's company. Amazing, really, to be able to enjoy looking upon God's face and enjoying his company. Now, I've got a couple of questions that I want to ask. How, firstly, could God have walked in the Garden of Eden? You see, God doesn't have feet, and he doesn't have legs. God, the Bible tells us, is spirit. In fact, the Bible tells us that God fills space. Or to put it another way, he fills the universe. I don't know whether you've ever sat down with your eyes closed and tried to travel in your mind to the furthest point in space. Or is it just me? It's just me. Well, I've tried to do that in my mind, and I've travelled billions and billions of miles, and I've got to a point, and I thought to myself, surely I've got to the edge of space now, and then I've realised that there must still be space beyond that. And so in my mind, I've travelled more miles, billions and billions of miles, and I've got to a point, and I thought to myself, surely I must be at the edge of space now, but no, there's more and more beyond. And I don't really understand these things, but I don't think we can ever reach the edge of space, the edge of the universe. And God is so big that he fills space. He fills the universe. We worship a great God, a big God. So how could this God walk in the Garden of Eden, where he had put Adam and Eve in the cool of the day? Well, I think we would want to answer that question in this way, that God was pleased to walk in the garden in the form of a man. I'm going to use a big word now. But when this kind of thing happened in the Old Testament, and it did happen a lot in the Old Testament, we refer to it as a theophany. I don't know whether you'll remember that word, but we call it a theophany. But let me ask another question. How could Adam look upon God and not die? You see, in the Old Testament, we read about a man named Isaiah. He was a prophet. And one day God appeared to him. And he thought that he was going to die. This is what he said. Woe to me. I'm ruined. I'm dead. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. There's another man in the Bible named John, the Apostle John. And he saw a vision of the risen and exalted Lord Jesus. He saw God in a vision. And the Bible tells us that he fell down as though dead. You see, it's clear from the Bible that a sinner cannot stand in the sight of God, who is so holy and so glorious. How then could Adam walk and talk with God and enjoy his immediate presence? Well, because Adam at the beginning wasn't a sinner. Do you remember when God created the world? Everything that he created was good. Adam and Eve in the garden at first were without sin. They had been created good. And because Adam at the beginning knew no sin, he was able to enjoy that wonderful, intimate fellowship with Almighty God. See, God created Adam in order to walk and talk with him in what was effectively heaven. God created human beings in order that he might walk and talk with them, in order that he might enjoy their fellowship. That's the first thing I want to say this evening. There are three things I want to say, but the first thing that I want to say is that Adam walked with God. Well, we're going to sing. We're going to sing number 204. And the songs that I've chosen, I hope will relate, at least in some measure, to the things that we are talking about. This song reminds us that God has created all things bright and beautiful. Number 204, and we'll stand to sing. Well, I'm going to ask us all to bow our heads again in prayer. Let's pray. Lord, as we meet week by week on a Sunday, and as we read our Bibles at home, help us to realize that you are a big God, bigger than we could ever imagine you to be. Help us to be mindful that you are a holy God and that you cannot look upon sin. Help us to be mindful of the fact that you know all things. You know about the things that are running through our minds even now. Oh God, please forgive us when we think too small of you, when we reduce you to something that you are not. And we pray especially for the young people here tonight, the boys and girls, that they may grow up learning that God is a great and a mighty and an awesome God. Lord, we thank you that despite the fact that we are so small, just little specks on this little earth, that you are mindful of us. So mindful of us, in fact, that you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, to die upon the cross so that all who repent and believe might be saved from their sin and have the door opened up to them to spend eternity with you. Oh Lord, help us all to understand the wonder of the cross. Help us all to be able to take it in. Help us all to live in the light of Jesus Christ and him crucified. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us in lots of different ways. But tonight we would pray for the boys and girls, for the young people, as they go back to school. We pray that you'd help them throughout this term. Pray that you'd be to them all that they need, and perhaps you will encourage them, Lord, and help them to pray to you when they find themselves in times of difficulty or stress. We pray for those who will soon be making their way to university, and we commit them to you. Watch over them and keep them, we pray. And Lord God, as we look at the Bible tonight, as we think about this man who walked with you all those years ago, please teach us something that we can take home with us and really think about. Indeed, impress your truth upon all of our lives, we pray. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Gareth, thank you.
The next reading is from Genesis chapter 3. This is on page 6. It starts at verse 20. Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all the living. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. And the Lord God said, "The man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever." So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword, flashing back and forth to guard the way to the Tree of Life.
So, Adam walked with God in the Garden of Eden, where, of course, God placed him. But secondly tonight, I want to say that Adam's walk with God came to an end. No doubt some of you know the story, but I'm going to tell it anyway. Peter, can we have the next picture, please, up on the screen? Here are Adam and Eve in the garden, and we'll have the picture after that. That's great. And God said to Adam that he could eat from any tree in the garden, but there was one tree that he was not allowed to eat from, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And here is that tree. But one day, next picture, Satan, in the form of a snake, came along and he tempted Eve to eat from the tree. And foolishly, she gave in to the temptation. And we can see in the next picture her eating the forbidden fruit. But having taken a bite of it, well, she gave some to her husband Adam, and he ate as well. They disobeyed God. And the moment they ate of the forbidden fruit, they became sinners. They became aware of their nakedness. And so in the next picture, we see them endeavouring to make coverings for themselves with fig leaves. But they became aware of their shame and their sin before this great and holy God. And whereas before they had enjoyed walking and talking with God, they found themselves wanting to, next picture, hide from God. Here they are, hiding from God. Well, I'm not telling the full story because it would take too long to tell this evening, but God was good. And God made coverings for them out of animal skin. But the fact remained, they had become sinners. And therefore, they were no longer able to enjoy the immediate presence of God. They were no longer able to look upon God. So God put them out of the garden. We've got a picture that illustrates that. How sad. Things had begun so well, but because of their disobedience, things turned out really badly. And God put cherubim at the entrance to the Garden of Eden so that Adam and Eve could not make their way back in. In fact, God also put a great big flaming sword in front of the entrance that went back and forth. It would have been too dangerous for them to try and re-enter the Garden of Eden. They were put out of the presence of God. Well, that's the second part of the story that I'm telling this evening. There is a third part, and a most important part, but we'll deal with that part in just a little while. We're going to stand, though, and sing what many of you know to be my favourite children's song. I think that the wording of this song is so good and so profound. No one is good. No one is holy before God. I need someone to cleanse me. No one is pure. No one is righteous in your sight. I need someone to save me. Let's stand and sing this one through together. Please sit down.
Two readings this time. The first one is from John chapter 3. Which is on page 1066 in the church Bibles. John chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. And then reading from Revelation chapter 22, which is very easy to find, because you start at the back and flip back a page. It's on page 1250, Revelation 22, verses 1 and 2. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations.
So Adam began life walking with God, but there came a time when he ceased to walk in the immediate presence of a holy God. But you know, I believe, thirdly this evening, that there will come a day when Adam, in bodily form, will walk with God again, and be able to look upon his face. Why do I believe that? Well, let me put that question out rather than simply answering it myself. Why do I believe that? Well, let me tell you. Because he trusted in who? Because he trusted in someone. Who did he trust in? Jesus. You see, who do we have to trust in? Who does anybody have to trust in or believe in order to go to heaven? Jesus. There's no other way to get there or to arrive there. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. And no one goes to the Father except through him. Adam will walk with God one day because he trusted in Jesus. Now you might say to me, well, I don't see how that could be the case. And because Jesus didn't arrive on the world scene until many, many, many years later. Adam didn't even know the name of Jesus. But I would still want to argue this evening that Adam trusted in the Lord Jesus. How do I explain that? Well, let me begin by reading what I hope will appear on the screen next. You'll have to keep flicking through until we get to the words. What will appear up on the screen next, here we are, is a verse from Genesis and chapter 3. It's verse 15. And whilst I think Adam and Eve and Satan were still in the garden, God spoke to each one of them, and this is what God said to the serpent, or what God said to Satan. really important words. I will put hostility between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. And these are the words that I particularly want us to take note of this evening. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel. Now you might look at those words this evening and say, well, they don't make any sense to me. I have absolutely no idea what they are talking about. Let me try to explain. God effectively said to Satan that Eve would have children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren and great-great-great-grandchildren and great-great-great-great-grandchildren, and I could keep going on until one day somebody really important came into the world who would defeat Satan and open the way up into the presence of God. Who would that person be, do you think? Jesus. This verse speaks about Jesus. Let me try to help us understand it a little bit more. Satan will strike Jesus's heel. When Jesus died upon the cross, it was Satan's attempt to hurt Jesus. He didn't do away with him altogether. It was as if he struck his heel. But on the cross, when Jesus died, it was like Jesus crushed Satan's head. In other words, he put an end to his works, to his deeds. By dying on the cross, as I've already said, Jesus made it possible for those who repent of their sins and trust in him as their Saviour to go to heaven. Now, my conviction is, or my belief is, that Adam heard this promise of God to Satan and believed the promise that this person, this seed of his wife, would one day come who would defeat Satan, do away with sin, and open up the door back, if you like, into the Garden of Eden, or heaven. So when he believed what God said, I would argue that he was effectively believing in the Lord Jesus. Okay, he didn't know Jesus' name. He didn't know that Jesus would die and rise again. He didn't know very much about Jesus at all. But from a distance, he believed in the promise about Jesus and how Jesus would make everything good again. How that Jesus would destroy Satan's works and enable people to go to heaven. You know, we talk sometimes, don't we, about heaven. And we often wonder what heaven will be like. Well, there are quite a number of pictures in the Bible that help us to understand a little bit, at least, about what heaven is going to be like. And one of the pictures that heaven gives us is of a garden. Did you notice that from the reading that Gareth brought to us this evening? Shall I read the words again? That he read, the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every day. If we, like Adam, look to Jesus and trust in him or believe in him, we can go to heaven. We can go to heaven, which the Bible says will be like a wonderful garden. It will be like Eden restored. I like gardens, and so that's a lovely picture of heaven as far as I am concerned. But of course the Bible says that not everyone will be able to enter in. The Bible says that there will be those who are shut outside. Indeed, they will have to go to another place, a place that the Bible calls hell. And hell is the complete opposite of what heaven is like. Heaven is perfect. Heaven is without sin. Heaven is full of the glory of the Lord. Everything good can be said about heaven, whereas hell is a place that is dark, where there is suffering and where God's presence cannot be found. And so I simply want to finish this evening by asking the question, are you trusting in the Lord Jesus? Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour? Do you believe that He died upon the cross for you to take away your sin and to open up the door that leads back effectively into the Garden of Eden, or to Eden restored? Well, that's the question, isn't it? That we all have to answer. And it's a question that we should all think extremely carefully about. What a wonderful thing it is to be able to walk and talk with God and to enjoy His immediate presence. Adam enjoyed it at the beginning. He lost it. But one day I believe that he will walk and talk with God again. And so can we if we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? And then we'll sing together. Lord, we thank you for the story, at least in some measure, of Adam's life that we've been able to consider together this evening. What a wonderful thing it must have been for him to have walked and talked with you in the Garden of Eden, to have been without sin, and to have been able to enjoy that intimate fellowship with yourself. How tragic that he sinned against you and was put out of the garden. And yet, Lord, as we have seen, there will surely be a day when Adam, in bodily form, walks in heaven once again, in your immediate presence, and not just him, but countless others as well. There will be access to the tree of life. And what a joy that will be. Some of us are certain in our own minds that we're already going there, but we pray for others who may not be certain, that they may have that full assurance that they have indeed truly trusted the Lord Jesus and are destined for heaven itself and not for that other awful place. So, Lord, hear our prayer, and we ask these things in Jesus' name and for His sake.